Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and we're into the book of Amos, and this is chapter 4. Let's all go to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. Your word explains to us in the book of Amos and throughout the Bible that we need to prepare to meet our God at the judgment. This means we need to prepare ourselves. Many people, Lord, think that you're going to prepare them, but you command everyone in the world to prepare themselves. We have to take the initiative to do that which you have, what we can see in your word that you tell us to do. It isn't going to just happen any more than we can just think about having food to eat daily and drink daily without going at and taking some effort to get the food and to take the effort to eat it. You must go to your word, read it, and do what it says. Otherwise, there'll be no blessing on our life in this world nor in the world to come. Father, open up every heart, mind, and soul to receive that which you have prepared for us from before the foundation of the earth. Open up our spiritual ears and let all these words, and let us apply them to our lives. In the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
We're reading through the Bible here. So I make commentaries. She reads a verse from the King James Version, then I make commentaries on it in hopes that it will be more readily understood in today's language. Praise the Lord.
Chapter 4, verse 1, King James Version. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan.
You what?
Ye kine of Bashan.
Okay, what I do is I call it, you old cow, you fat cows of Bashan. So the Lord is calling, through Amos, these people, the women, fat cows. And that's what it means. That's the original Hebrew. You ladies probably don't like being called fat cows, but you know the Lord doesn't care about your emotions or your feelings. He wants you to repent. Amen?
Amen.
And so he calls it just like it is. Okay, read it again.
Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink.
Yeah, which say to their husbands, let us, you know, bring us alcohol so we can drink. Give us some more booze. All right, go ahead and read the commentary.
Okay, commentary verse 1. Listen to me, you, quote, fat cows, end quote, of Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and who are always asking your husbands for another drink, exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 2. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. Commentary verse 2. The Sovereign Lord has sworn this by his holiness, quote, the time will come when you will be led away with hooks in your noses. Every last one of you will be dragged away like a fish on a hook. Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 3. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Commentary, verse 3. You will leave by going straight through the breaks in the wall. You will be thrown from your fortresses. I, the Lord, have spoken. Exclamation mark.
You think that you're safe, that there's plenty of protection on you. You may have security all over the place, but the Lord says he'll throw you out of your protective walls. He'll actually grab you and throw you out. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years.
What he's doing is just saying, keep on sinning. keep on sacrificing unto idols. Just keep on doing these things, these sins that you're doing, because they're mounting up to heaven here. Just keep it up. Put it back again, just so they can understand what it's saying.
Come to Bethel and transgress.
Yeah, come on, keep on sinning. Then what else?
At Gilgal, multiply transgression.
Yeah, keep sinning. Keep on sinning. Multiply your sins. Okay, keep them mounting up. Then what?
And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, be sacrificing unto idols. Just keep it up. When they're sinning, they're not sacrificing unto the Lord, right?
Right.
Okay, then what else?
Commentary, verse 4.
Commentary.
Quote, go ahead and offer your sacrifices to the idols at Bethel and Gilgal. Keep on disobeying. Your sins are mounting up! Offer sacrifices each morning and bring your tithes every 3 days! King James Version, verse 5. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and
just keeps these sinful leaven with, like yeast, a phony doctrines and phony sacrifices there. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Okay, read that again.
Okay. Verse 5. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children.
Yeah, the free offering, just go and publish. Tell everybody, brag about how much you're sacrificing, how much you're tithing. Brag on it. Read that back so they can understand it.
And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God.
Like to do. Okay, go ahead and read the commentary.
Okay, commentary verse 5. Present your bread made with yeast, leaven, at an offering of thanksgiving.
In other words, that's sin. Okay?
Yes.
Then what?
Present your bread made with yeast, leaven, at an offering of thanksgiving. Then give your extra voluntary offerings so you can brag about it everywhere! This is the kind of thing you Israelites love to do, says the Sovereign Lord. King James Version, verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities.
In other words, cleanness of teeth means that you don't have anything to eat. You don't need to brush your teeth because you didn't eat anything to brush out of them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead and read it again.
And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places.
It said famine. Hunger and famine to you. And then what?
Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
After all this that I've done to you, the punishment I've given you, you still won't turn unto me. Okay, do you understand it better now?
Yes.
Go ahead, read it. Commentary.
Commentary, verse 6. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord.
See? And what?
King James Version, verse 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest.
Yeah, I ruined your crops. I didn't let rain fall on them. Okay, then what?
And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city.
Yeah, people were doing good in one city. I rained on that. The ones that weren't doing good, I didn't rain on it. Then what?
One piece was rained upon, and
one field was rained upon, and another field wasn't. Go ahead.
And the piece whereupon it rained not withered.
Yeah, no rain, no vegetables. Amen.
Amen.
Or no fruit on the trees. And what else?
Commentary, verse 7. Quote, I kept the rain from falling when you needed it the most, ruining all your crops. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. Rain fell on one field, while another field withered away. King James Version, verse 8. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water.
Different people go from... Now see, the Lord says when your ways don't please him, he curses you. Amen?
Amen.
In hopes that you'll... And all these things, these famines and the droughts. This is the Lord. He says, you know, that I've sent these things. I planned them all out. So don't blame it on Mother Nature, because it's not, you know, the world likes to make it look as though it's Mother Nature or just, well, it's just chance that it happens. Curses where you see an entire town leveled with tornadoes. There's probably wife swapping going on in town, lesbianism, homosexuality, bestiality, every filthy lying, stealing, cheating, no worship of the Lord, worshiping idols in Catholic cults, people hating Christians or anyone that comes into town to distribute true Christian literature. And then they wonder why their town is leveled by tornadoes and by earthquakes and plagues and drought. I remember that this area over here was just totally in a drought, and it was really hot, and some people asked me to pray, and I did, and the rain came. It was after like months, though. The cows were dying, everything was out and out cursed. And so I prayed. He says, why, you know God, and we know you know God, why don't you pray that it rains? And so it was at the halfway house. And so I did, I said, I will. And I just started praying, and it started pouring down. It was like a flood came down. Amen?
Amen.
There wasn't any hay for, they said they were trying to sell the cows and the beef for hardly any money whatsoever. And the Lord sent it. Amen?
Amen.
People were treating me terrible in prison, you know, the different, the assistant warden and the warden in there. This guy was really a mean person, and the Lord made him pay. A lot of those people have farms and everything. And it's just a warning signal from the Lord to kind of turn back to the Lord and stop doing evil to people. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes real good people are put in prison for things they didn't do wrong. And you have to be careful how you treat people, even prisoners, because you don't know, there might be an angel that you're doing something wrong to, unaware. You may be unaware that you're doing it. Okay, then what?
King James.
Because people of the Lord don't always look like people of the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul said that he was a disgusting looking person, and David was a little shrimp. But people better pay attention to him, because he killed Goliath. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul wrote around 2/3 of the New Testament. And so you think you look pretty or something, but you look like a weasel to the Lord underneath your skin. And somebody may look like a weasel outside, but they look like an angel inside to the Lord. Okay, so it's not the outward appearance that means anything, as most carnal people think. Doesn't have anything to do with it. So let's keep going here.
King James Version, verse 8. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Okay, now commentary.
Verse 8, commentary. People staggered from one town to another for a drink of water, but there was never enough. But still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord.
No, I thought God is all love. He doesn't curse people. He says, I did it. I've caused famine to come to you. I caused drought. I'm the one that didn't rain on your fields. I'm the one that ruined your crops. Now, where are you coming off with Mother Nature? You trying to take the glory away from the Lord or something? That glory, said the Lord says, belongs to him. He says, that's glorious. The Lord has a ball. He has a lot of fun cursing people that need to be cursed. Amen?
Amen.
To try to wake him up. But he says, still you don't wake up. You're really dense in your head, in your spiritual brain. You don't have any marbles up there, so to speak. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew.
See, I have done it, the Lord said. With mildew and blasting. That wasn't Mother Nature, he says. Amen?
Amen.
That's me, the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, then what else?
I have smitten you with blasting and mildew.
Yeah, I have smitten you. With what?
Blasting and mildew.
Yeah, I blasted you. All right, then what?
When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them.
Yeah, I sent this worm. Did you ever figure out, man, my whole crop is eaten up with worms. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll outfox God. We'll spray. So the whole crop is poisoned now. Huh? With the poisonous spray. And people wonder why they're sick and coughing up their lungs and got cancer, tuberculosis, and all the other different diseases that they have today. Because, you know, everything is poison nowadays. To try to avoid the Lord's curses, they bring even a larger curse upon themselves. It'd be better to be a little bit hungry than it would be to be a whole lot poisoned. Amen?
Amen.
Methinks. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 9. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
I would have taken the locusts away, or the palmer worm, or whatever worm I have chosen to send. If the giants were nice people, I wouldn't have had hornets chase them out. Amen?
Amen.
But they weren't nice people, so I chased them out of the land with a little tiny insect called a hornet. Then what?
Commentary, verse 9. I struck your farms and vineyards with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured all your fig and olive trees, but still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. King James Version,
verse... These are really dense people, amen?
Amen.
And he says, no, because they didn't return to the Lord because they thought it was Mother Nature. So who do you return to if you think it's Mother Nature? Well, you just have to use more pesticides. Right? So, no, the Lord is the one that's doing it, so that's why he's telling you that, is so that you'll return to him and not to a fictitious character called Mother Nature, okay? Or any other fictitious character that you Gentiles like to conjure up in your Mickey Mouse brains. All right, then what? Your Disneyland brains. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 10. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of...
Notice he said, put the emphasis on, okay. I have.
Okay.
I, God, have. Sent what?
Among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt.
Yeah, in other words, I've put the same plagues on you that I did Egypt. I put similar plagues on you like I did the Egyptians. Now, Pharaoh didn't say it was Mother Nature, did he?
No.
But in his heart he might have, right? Because he never repented, right?
Right.
So, you know, you're just as foolish as Pharaoh. If something bad is happening to you, don't you know it's God? And if something good is happening to you, don't you know that it's God? Amen? Nothing Amen. Good can happen to you unless it's God. And nothing bad can happen to you unless it's him sending it. It's him, not Mother Nature. Dingy. All right, what else?
I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword.
Oh, my God. God is a God of love. He didn't slay. This is all garbage here, the word of God. It's God talking, Dodo. Amen?
Amen.
Dunce? Okay, I did it. Don't you get it? What does he have to do? Pull you up in front of him, you know, right to his face? And then when he does that, he's going to sling you right into hell because you didn't believe his words. Okay, dopey? Oh, you don't like to be called dopey. Well, then receive these words, and then I won't call you dopey. All right, what else?
Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Like the stench of death was everywhere. It smelled of carcasses, the dead bodies. Then what else? Might read the commentary now.
Commentary verse 10, quote, I sent plagues against you like the plagues I sent...
I, God, have sent plagues against you. Me, right?
Yes.
It didn't come from Mother Nature. I mean, the people on the news, they say, well, Mother Nature is really roaring today. Big tornado over in Oklahoma, or the big old Mother Nature really whipped the people in India down, really slapped them down to the ground, or the Africans, Mother Nature's really abusing them because they like to swap wives and to steal people's wives and everything else like that. And they don't have any food, and they got AIDS and Ebola and all these other different diseases, and locusts are eating up all their food and everything else. And but it's Mother Nature, so there's no chance for them to repent, because nobody knows how to repent to Mother Nature. Amen?
Amen.
You just figure, we got to figure out how to beat Mother Nature. You know, pesticides, that'll do it. But they're still starving to death, you know, even though they put pesticides on it. And if they don't starve to death, well, then they get poisoned to death by eating all the poison off the fruit and the vegetables. And then to drink the water. You see them drinking this water that's got sewer in it. Sewer water. I mean, it's really sewer water. You don't have to look at a microscope. It's, you know, the color of sewer. You've heard of the movie The Color of Purple. This is the color of sewer. All right, then what?
Commentary verse 10, quote,
it's not pleasant to drink. Mother Nature didn't do that, honey. All right, then what else?
Quote, I sent plagues against you like the plagues I sent against Egypt long ago.
Yes, 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 indeed. Then what?
I killed your young men in war and slaughtered all your horses.
Yeah, don't blame it on Mother Nature or on Elvis. All right, don't blame it on Elvis, all right? Then what else?
The stench of death filled the air, exclamation mark. But still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord.
It seems funny, you know, when I'm saying this, but it's not funny to them that it's happening to. But they need to know that it's God. Say, God never does that. You hear all these supposed to be evangelists of God. They're not from God, they're from the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Because they're saying the exact opposite of what the Word says. And, you know, we have to believe the Word, not these evil people that call themselves evangelists. They're posing as angels of light, but they're really the devil's ambassadors, steering you away from the Lord. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 11. I have overthrown some of you, as I, God, overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning.
Yeah, you were like a stick. Well, you know, like if you throw a stick into a fire, then you rescue it, it's like half of it's burnt. So you get a lot of people that are in these earthquakes and tornadoes, and they get rescued out of it, but they, you know, one of their legs is missing. You got burnt, amen?
Amen.
Your skull is cracked. One of your feet is missing. A couple, maybe your arms or fingers, or there's something wrong with your kidneys because it got crushed in the rubble. That's what he's saying. You're like a stick that got pulled out of the fire, and you're like half burnt. Something's wrong with you. Okay? All right, keep going.
Yet have ye not returned unto me, say.
Read that back again.
I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Now, read the commentary.
Commentary verse 11. Quote, I destroyed some of your...
I destroyed some of you, okay?
Yes.
I, God, have destroyed some of you. Not Mother Nature. Now, they keep saying Mother Nature on the TV, so don't feel bad if I keep saying no, 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 okay? That is not Mother Nature. Then what?
I destroyed some of your cities, as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those of you who survived were like half-burned sticks snatched from the fire. But still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. King James Version, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will...
Will I do unto thee, not Mother Nature. Amen?
Amen.
If this bores you, well, then you can go home. All right, then what else?
Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
Yeah, to prepare to meet, everybody should be preparing to meet their God at judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's what it means when he says prepare to meet your God. That means you're going to be at judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Not, and you're not going to be pulled up before Mother Nature or anybody else's mother. Okay, this is God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Commentary, verse 12. Quote, therefore I will bring upon you all these further disasters I have announced.
I, the Lord says. He brags about it because he wants you to know who you have to repent before so he'll lay off. Amen?
Amen.
You got to say, lay off, Lord, not lay off, Mother Nature, because Mother Nature ain't going to hear you, okay? You understand?
Yes.
Okay, so you got to know who's doing it, or else you're not going to be able to call on him to stop it, to lay off, okay? Mm-hmm. What do I have to do for you to stop it? The Lord says, just come to me and ask me. But instead, you're just saying, oh, well, it's Mother Nature. It just happens to everybody. No, it doesn't. It happens to you sinners. Amen?
Amen.
So don't get that into your head, all right?
Amen.
Your tiny little heads. Your tiny little pointed heads. All right, what else?
Commentary, verse 12. Quote, therefore I will bring upon you all these further disasters I have announced.
I have announced. I told you, in other words, I told you they're going to come. So the thing is, like, I gave you a fair warning. For God's sake, stop what you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
And turn to me. Don't say I didn't give you a fair warning. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Prepare to meet your God as he comes in judgment, you people of Israel. End quote. King James Version, verse 13. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and created the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Commentary, verse 13. For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the wind.
S-H-A-P-E-D, the mountains. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one that did that. You see a beautiful mountain, you say, oh, isn't Mother Nature beautiful? No. God shaped it. Amen. He designed it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be putting the blame on some mother. All right? It was God, and God only. Okay? Then what?
For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the winds.
He's the one that stirs up the wind. Then what?
And reveals his every thought. He turns the light of dawn into...
Yeah, every thought that he thinks is right here in the Bible, so you best learn how he thinks. Okay, or you're going to be in a lot of trouble. He turns what?
He turns the light of dawn into darkness and treads the mountains under his feet. The Lord God Almighty is his name! Exclamation mark.
Okay, now... Going to commentary here.
The people of Israel, and now most of the people, knew how God...
And now most of the people in this whole world, into this day and age, we all know. It's written, you know, how the Lord thinks. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Know how God watches them and wants them to live.
Yeah, God wants everyone to live. He's a God of love. But if you don't, then he's going to send the evil to you. Because God says he creates good, and he also creates evil. But the evil he sends to you is the purpose is for you to repent. But then again, on the other hand, if you don't know that it's God sending the evil, then you don't know who to repent to, okay? So it doesn't make any sense for you to just make up some kind of imaginary, you know, person that, or thing that's causing this this trouble in your life. You've got something wrong with your body, or your children have something wrong with their body. There's something wrong with you. Well, the Bible does say that this was this man blind, or was he lame from the youth because of the fact that he's their sin in his life? No, not that particular person. He says, no, not this one. But that doesn't mean that most of the majority of the people in the world that have horrible diseases and infirmities, that this didn't come from God. Because you might be a liar, so he might jack your mouth up, or your jaw, or your brain, or something with you, for sure. Or you might be an adulteress, or an adulterer, or a fornicator, or a person that thinks they can be lesbians, or homosexuals, and something's going to happen to you. The average life of a homosexual today is 41 years old. But they die much younger than that. And you see the hospitals and the clinics over in Houston, there's like hundreds of buildings there that are just packed out with young children. Their hair has gone on their heads because of chemotherapy, and they're having to pull large pieces of flesh out of their stomachs. And they have to go to the bathroom out of a bag for the rest of their life. They're like little 10-year-old, 11-year-old kids. There's all kinds of curses happening to people, and yet they just say, well, you know, it's Mother Nature, and the kid doesn't know what to do. He's crying. We just saw a documentary on that today. He's crying because he doesn't know why he, at 11 years old, has to suffer like this. Good-looking boy, and the parents just are, you can tell they're like dunces. They don't know either, and it's because if you go in there to try to hand him a tract and tell him that it's God and he just wants you to repent and he'll heal the boy. Or the little girl, very cute little girl, is getting she has a heart trouble, some terrible problem with her heart. Her heart is sticking to her rib cage inside, and she's the cutest little thing you ever saw. And she has to have this operation or she'll die. She's only 2 years old. And so it shows them having to cut open her rib cage, and she's crying, and she's just looking everywhere to try to wonder, why do I have to go through this, Mom? Why, Dad, do I have to go through this? Look at the sins of the mother and the father, because the Bible says, you know, that your sins will be visited on you, on your offspring. Amen?
Amen.
I'll curse the fruit of your body. That means your children. And he just, you know, but if you just say, well, it just happens to certain people, honey, and you're just unfortunate enough to be one, instead of just looking, examining yourself to see the things that you're doing wrong and that you're not really paying any attention to God, you're looking to doctors to heal. And, of course, some of them do patch the heart up, but only one part of the heart was working. There was one part of the heart that was missing, one of the valves. So they had to fuse the valve into her. And she was just so anxious to get out of that hospital. She was shaking, a little two-year-old girl just shaking. And she was so cute, and it just makes me feel sad. And it makes God feel sad, too, that he has to do that. But he wants to wake people up, because it's a lot better that something like that happens to people, if it wakes them up, rather than for them to be tortured forever in hell. Amen?
Amen.
Because, listen, God is a holy God. And he requires that all people are holy in order to enter the kingdom of God. And he wants you to be perfect. You can't get into the kingdom of heaven unless you're perfect. Then you've got all these demonic ministers saying no one can be perfect when God commands them to be perfect. In other words, as if God is lying when he says, or he's such a cruel God that he's telling you to do something that you can't do. He's telling you to be perfect, and it's impossible to be perfect like these devils in the pulpit say. But the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, the Spirit of God is in us, we can do all things. We are more than conquerors over all sinfulness. And we're able to not live according to the law of sin and death anymore, but we're able to walk in the Spirit, in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so believe God and not these dastardly, demonic, evil spirits that are preaching in pulpits today, do not believe them. Believe these words that you hear in the Bible and live, the Lord says. Okay, then what?
The people of Israel, and now most of the people, knew
of the world.
Of the world.
Okay, then what?
Knew how God watches them and wants them to live.
Israel knew, and we know how God watches everything and he wants us to live. All right, then what?
After all, God had chosen Israel to be his examples.
And he has chosen spiritual Israel to be his representative here on earth. He wants to represent himself in and through us. And so we have to stop sinning in order for him to be able to accomplish his purpose in us and through us. Okay, then what?
We as Israel know the laws and the consequences for disobedience. Yet Israel and the people of the Lord today flout them and choose to sin anyway.
They just choose to sin. They don't make any effort at all to not to sin. They just choose to be the same way as they were yesterday and the day before and the day before that. They just, there's no change in people. Then what?
So God punished them and does punish people today.
Well, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. This isn't Mother Nature doing things to you. If something's happening to you, it's God, and know for sure it is, because if we're in the body of Christ, in the Spirit, nothing's going to happen to you, all right? Nothing that he won't give you the power to go through, amen? He won't allow anything to overpower us. The Spirit of God is more powerful than anything that can happen to us, all right? Then what?
We know the dangers and consequences of our compulsions and things we are addicted to.
Yeah, everybody's got some kind of addiction to something. You know, some alcohol, some drugs, some sex, some degeneracy, some filth, some evil concupiscence in their minds. All sorts of different things that people have an addiction to. A satanic addiction. The devil's put it in their minds. So they never defend their mind. But the whole war of God, between God and Satan, is going on in your mind. That's where the devil wants to get a hold of you. That's what he attacks. And you don't, you just lay there and let him do that to you without fighting. But Paul said that he fought a good fight. I mean, the same things that happening or attacking you was the same things that attacked him. And I'm sure maybe even worse, because he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
So what you're going through is nothing compared to the strong and powerful warriors of God. Those people are the ones that really get attacked. All right, then what else?
We know the dangers and consequences
of you're being attacked in the same manner. The only thing is you don't fight. And if you don't fight a good fight and finish the course, you're not going to enter into heaven. You're going to the lake of fire. Then what else?
We know the dangers and consequences of our compulsions and things we're addicted to. If we engage in them and don't expect the consequences, we are in denial about our destructive behaviors.
Yeah, in other words, you deny that your behavior is destructive. That will send your soul to hell. You deny the Lord's word. Then what else?
The only way to avoid the consequences of our addiction is to avoid the addictive behaviors.
Yeah, to fight the addictive behaviors, okay? To avoid them. Don't listen to them. All right? Then what?
The only way to avoid the consequences of our addiction is to avoid the addictive behaviors that cause punishment, even everlasting punishment.
Hell. The lake of fire. Then what?
Amos 3:3-8.
Yeah. So you don't have to read it. Just, this is 3-8 now that I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, go now.
We all receive warnings before our addiction and dysfunctional behavior overtakes us.
Yeah, you all receive warnings from the Lord. You're receiving all kinds of warnings right here from the Lord, okay? Because as he was then, he is today. Okay, he hasn't changed. You say we're living in a new era. No, we're not. It's the same filth and degeneracy that was in the world from the beginning of time. And there's nothing new under the sun. Everything is the same devil. It's being the same way that he always has been. And the same Lord is the same way he always has been. He's going to punish and destroy people that refuse to repent. All right? That's what he's going to do. You can stake your life on that. Then what else?
God's prophets had warned the people of Israel about their disobedience regularly.
And the prophets today, and there are prophets today, because the Lord said that some prophets, not all are prophets, but some are prophets, some are evangelists, not all. Okay, but we're all preachers, amen. You better be. Okay, then what else?
God's prophets had warned the people of Israel about their disobedience regularly, and they all had seen the suffering of their ancestors. We receive regular warnings from the medical reports, friends and family members, and God's Word, the Bible. Continuing on in our addiction despite the warnings is like hearing a smoke alarm going off and waiting to be burned in the fire.
Yeah. Okay, then what? You want to just wait until the fire, the Lord sends your soul to hell? No, you have to pay attention to the warning and repent now. Because you can't repent once you die. After death comes the judgment. No repentance. Judgment. Okay, get that. Get that in your head. Then what else?
We should heed the warnings we receive before it's too late. Amos 4, 4 through 5.
Okay, now we're going to go Amos 4, 4 through 5.
Okay.
Because this is fourth chapter, so we're 4, 4 through 5. Okay, then what?
It is easy to find substitutes for a genuine relationship with God.
Yeah, everybody thinks, well, I can serve the Lord this way, or I can serve the Lord that way. I'll serve the Lord playing basketball. Or I'll serve the Lord giving money. That's really sin, to think that. Because it's like, do you think that you can buy your way into heaven with money? That's filthy lucre. That's horrible sin, to think such a thing. Or that you can get into heaven by playing basketball, football, baseball. Or, you know, beating somebody's brains out for the Lord. You see these people going into the ring, oh, Lord bless me. And then they get knocked flat on their canvas. They become a Rembrandt right on the canvas there, painting it with their blood. But the Lord didn't answer their prayer. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
One tempting substitute is religious activity.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people think they can please the Lord by being religious. Okay, then what?
If we go to church regularly, maybe even sing in the choir, won't that be enough? God required the Israelites to give sacrifices and tithes, but he demanded even more. An offering given because the giver is already committed to God pleases God.
Yeah, if you're fully committed to the Lord and then you give finances for the work, then that pleases him. But that isn't going to buy your way into heaven, to not be committed to the Lord and give finances. Right, then what?
But if an offering is given in place of true commitment, then God regards the offering as sin.
Yeah.
Our heartfelt devotion is what God really wants. Amos 4, 6 through 11. Today's parallels to these verses are, quote, you've lost your job and lost your family, yet you still won't give up your alcohol and drugs, end quote.
So, you know, you lost everything you got and you still don't repent. You lost your wife, your kids, your job, everything. And you still want to go on more drugs now because you think you got a reason to take more drugs or alcohol. That alcohol and drugs becomes your God, like it did Elvis Presley. I need my God. I need addiction. I need drugs. I need them. I can't come off of them. Instead of going to the Lord for comfort and support and power. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it easier and a whole lot less expensive? You don't have to go to hell either.
Amen.
Do it the Lord's way. Okay, then what?
Or quote, you are empty despite all you possess, yet still you won't turn to me.
You don't have a home, you don't have a job, you don't have a family anymore, you're empty, and still you don't turn to me. If you turn to me, well, then you get the family back, your job, your health, maybe all of it, you don't know, until you try it. But you're not going to get any better being addicted. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
I've allowed AIDS and venereal disease to infect you.
God allows AIDS and venereal disease to infect people. Yeah. He lets you go ahead and get infected. You want to have illicit sex, it's going to be thrilling to you to be, to have AIDS, to be infected with AIDS and all the different venereal diseases they have today. God lets it happen. Then what?
I've allowed AIDS and venereal disease to infect you, yet you continue to practice sexual sins. All the negative effects of our compulsions and addictions are signs for us to give up these detrimental, damning pursuits and turn back to God, the giver of all that is good and perfect. James 1:17.
Okay, read James 1:17, please.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
So if you've got a good husband or a good wife, and you've got finances and things like that, that comes from God, just as I said before. Amen?
Amen.
It's a good and perfect gift because, you know, money answers all things. You can pay your bills, and you can get things that you need for the ministry. You can send gospel tracts out. You can get Bibles for people. That's from the Lord. That money is from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It didn't come in from Mother Nature. Amen?
Amen.
And the curses that come to you is all from the Lord. He brags. Amen?
Amen.
Not from Mother Nature. Or not from just circumstances. No, it happens from your disobedience to the Lord. Then what?
Amos 5:4-5. Israel was warned not to worship false idols, since those who do it will be destroyed. Anything we look to for comfort other than God and the wife and other things God in His Word gives us for godly comfort is a false god. We may not worship carved images, but we turn to alcohol, drugs, work, materialism,
music. That's a comfort to comfort you. That's your god. Instead of praying to the Lord and seeking His face, you turn to music of some kind. A lot of people are really addicted to music. You can see these big rock and roll things. There's 100,000 people there. And I used to be in the music business. I didn't really like the music, but I did it for the money. Okay? If you told me to play, I used to have people come over to my house and say, would you play your album, the oldie but goodie album that you came up with and all that? And I said no, because I don't like that kind of music. What? You're making all kinds of money with it. I know, I like the money, but I don't like the music, okay? It's like Listerine. I use it, but I hate it, right? Okay, then what else?
We may not worship carved images, but we turn to alcohol, drugs, work, materialism, music, sex, or other compulsions to hide from our painful problems. God is always there, waiting to help us.
He's always waiting. If you'll turn to Him, He'll help. I mean, if somebody comes to me, I'm going to help them. But if they don't come to me, I'm not required to interrogate people to find out what's bothering you, bunkie. Okay, to do... It's why the scorn on you, you know, the scornful look on your face, bunkie. Well, it's this way, I have an inflamed navel or whatever, you know. No, we're not going to do that. You have to come to us with whatever is inflamed first, and then we will help you. Amen?
Amen.
You have to turn to the Lord, because really I can help you in the way that I can lead you to the Lord for healing, if you turn back to Him and you're willing to keep His commandments. Then what?
He doesn't want us chasing after the things that will only lead to disappointment, death, hell, and the lake of fire for eternity. Instead, He calls out to us, quote, come back to Me and live.
Come back to the Lord and live. Why die ye, He says. Get all these superstitions and false things. It's like saying, to go to Mother Nature, it's like saying, let's go to Santa Claus or to the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny caused all these things. Santa Claus did. He's a mean daddy. Amen? Gentiles, you're all such pagans. Stop that. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 4, and we're, Lord willing, we'll do chapter 5 tomorrow. Till then, God bless you richly. Just get in His Word and He will. Amen?
Amen.
And do what His Word says. Praise the Lord. God bless you.